Hey, friends. Happy Monday. Welcome to the Fresh Life Podcast. My name is Leah Pieper, and we are so glad to have you on today. We are in a series called Redemption, and the more that we tell these stories, the more I just feel like this is a series of remembering. I love that we've gotten to invite so many people on to tell stories of God's faithfulness. It's helped them remember God's goodness and helped us remember who He is and the character of our God. It's been so sweet. So today we've got Lila Nix on to share her story. And her story is fairly recent. I mean, you'll hear it. I won't give any details away, but this story was really powerful to listen to, especially for me as I've dealt with a lot of health stuff. It was cool to hear Lila's story of relying on God in the midst of not knowing what the next day of suffering would look like for her health. It's an amazing story. I know you're gonna love it. So let's pull up a chair and let's dive right in.
Hello, friends. We are so glad you're here. This is Leah and Lisa sitting in my living room, and we are gonna host today's episode. As you know, we are in a series called Redemption, and we have invited some amazing women to steward their story and to help us with our goal to actively shape the next generation through Life on Life discipleship. We want to walk alongside women and point them back to who God is and how much He loves them. If you're listening, we've shared in our last couple podcasts that the motivation for this series is to offer hope. And when I was sitting reading the Bible this week, I ran across 1 Corinthians 13:13, by no mistake, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. And it says, three things will last forever: faith, hope, and love. Hope is alive. Hope is eternal. And hope isn't always happy, but it's always honest. And so don't you love that? Just the thought of just that it's not always that we're going to have just this really happy story, but right. It's always going to be honest.
Yeah,
so,
totally.
But we've invited one of my sweetest, dearest friends, Lila Nix. I'm so excited for you to hear her story. Lila, thank you so much for saying yes and for being here with us today.
Oh, thank you for the gift of the invite.
We're going to get into a little bit about how we know each other. And I think I've been just excited to do this episode so that Leah and Lila could meet each other.
It's a lot of L names.
It really is.
I mean, stick with us.
Bear with us. Lisa, Leah, Lila. So this might be a little tongue twister. But, so I remember 13 years ago walking into our student center, and we were in a Bible study, and I saw Lila sitting there. You can't see her, but she's my itty bitty friend. And she had just moved here from California, had been married a year, and was pregnant with her first child, Sabrina. And so I just think of that and walking in and us meeting. Do you just love to think back all those years
ago? Well, do you remember we talked on the phone beforehand? You forced me to go to the Bible study.
Yeah.
I said, I don't do Bible studies, lady. And then here I was. We were looking for a church. My brand new OBGYN suggested Christ Community. So I'm like, thanks, Dr. Carlson. You don't want to see your OB at church, but that's okay. We tried it out. We signed up for a journey group, we filled out the form, like the interest form. And this wonderful, amazing human, Bonnie Borgum, also passed my information on to Lisa. You were at the head of women's ministry at the time, correct?
Right.
And that was a Sunday when I filled that out. And Sunday night, Lisa Brown called my phone. And you were trying to encourage me to try the women's Bible study. And I'm like, that stuff is too overwhelming for me. And I felt a nudging and I needed friends. And so I went, and there we go.
Yep. And I just love when you just talk about Bonnie and just that whole story, because I just love how when we do our roles and we all just like care for people, that literally is what got you to go to that Bible study. Bonnie followed you up, handed me your name. I called you, invited you. And even though you were reluctant, I don't know why. Like when you tell me that I was like, oh, I think you should come. I'm like, that doesn't seem like me, but I kind of remember that conversation. It's like, no, you're brand new, just left your big family. You're going to have a baby. I've got all kinds of girls I can't wait for you to meet. And so you came.
I mean, God directed that. She also connected us with our journey group, best friends to this day. You know what I mean? It is pretty powerful when you kind of take a minute to look in the rearview mirror and see how things have come to pass. Mm-hmm. It's pretty.
And that you honoring your husband, Jeff, who y'all have been married for 14 years now. He was living in California, finishing law school or just...
Oh, no. Oh, I love that you think we're that young. Bless you.
So he was
had been in a practice for like 20 years. Yeah.
Oh, really? Seriously?
Oh, yeah. We're old, girl. We had our late in life miracle baby. She was like, yeah. Oh, that's for the young. Oh, that is hard.
Okay, so...
But anyway, no. So yes, he went to law school at UNL, fell in love with Nebraska, just a California kid, you know, growing up in Orange County. Came to Nebraska for law school, loved it, but went back and started, you know, worked in firms, started a practice, and just was going, always had in the back of his mind that he wanted to come back to this place. He just loved it. And so we got married, and he, you know, like on our fourth date, shared his dreams of coming back. And of course I was like, oh yes, wherever you go, I shall go. And then I got here, was like, holy cow, what was I doing?
Where's the ocean?
Love. I know. No, mountains for me. I miss my mountains, but that's, you know, we wouldn't go back. We love it here. It's been amazing, but that is why.
It was huge. And you have a big family and you're all really close and you left a lot. And
left
a
lot.
You did. And I just remember starting to get to know you, just being so proud of you and just already knowing I loved you because you honored your husband and you wanted to raise your child in a Midwest, you know, nice family community. And so you said yes and you found yourself here.
Yes.
And I'm a transplant too, so I think that always connected us to that.
Don't you feel you had to keep saying yes for a while until it really sunk in that, oh, okay. And then it becomes home. But when you don't have roots, you still float a little bit. Mm-hmm. So you're part of my roots, girl.
I love it. And so it wasn't far after that you were really involved in the Bible studies. And then I invited you to do a group of Jennifer Conkright and I invited 12 women that we wanted to mentor and asked you to come be a part of that and spend a year with us so we could just invest anything we had into you. And I can't remember if I had already started introducing you to some of those friends or if that's when that really got solidified.
No, I had met those friends beforehand. Another, she just emailed me one day and said, by the way, I gave your name to a girl named Heidi and she's going to call you for a play date. And I went on this play date and there's literally like 8 moms and 80 kids. And I was like, I can't do this. They're all like 12 years old and I'm so old and still friends with some of those women till today.
And that little time though was really tight. Like that season of our life or whatever, that little group was like, we were weekly or daily or just whatever. It's like that was our friend circle.
Right. Yeah. That was a gift to me because I really was kind of seeking and searching on, you know, just how God works my life and how I can serve him in his kingdom and kind of what that was going to look like.
Mm-hmm. And we were all kind of doing that together and had a few really hard things going on in our little group. Mm-hmm. And we all just rallied around as the family does. Mm-hmm. And so it was really special. But then I don't remember from there, but I just remember for some reason you and I just, it felt like family. You were like an aunt to Lauren and I felt like Sabrina was a niece to me. And so we just cared for each other's daughters. And I think, you know, because we are good friends, but because we love each other's daughters. So we have this whole other dynamic of those really precious times.
It has been very precious in that those two girls who love animals and anything that crawls and they got together and one was 2.5 and one was, you know, 14 or whatever at the time. And they just Lauren babysat and just became Lore, and Sabrina still considers her just dear sister.
Yeah. I mean, at that point you were going back to school and I think maybe working at UNO.
Right. Yeah. I taught for many years in California. I knew that when Sabrina went to school, I wanted to go back in the classroom, but who was going to want me? I was a little out of practice. So I thought I would get another master's at UNO, and just through God's grace again and meeting some amazing people who are still dear friends today, was offered a job teaching there. And just in the interim, while I was looking for the right spot in the elementary classroom, because that truly is where my heart is. The big kids are amazing, but they don't bring you flowery weeds from the playground and draw you lots of pictures. So, no. So, right. So then I got back into the workforce and I started teaching at Reader Elementary, a wonderful place that figures really prominently in my story down the line. But I taught second grade and kindergarten, and now I'm there teaching first grade and just in heaven.
Yeah. I mean, right where you need to be. And I just love those years that Lauren just got to be Sabrina's nanny and just the closeness. But then it turned into Lauren turning into this teenager, and then she decided to do a Miss Teen Nebraska USA pageant. And Leela is really good with hair, and she would come alongside and do all the beautiful hair. And you went with me during the interview of the pageant, and I literally wanted to smash my face against the glass to watch her do the interview. And
Lisa, you were going to get her disqualified before she even
pulling
started.
Me back and go, that's why I'm here, because you get over here. So we just had all those exciting, just fun adventures. And
we've had a lot of adventures together.
And just both girls love horseback riding, so they've gone to the same barn.
Same barn, yeah.
Just fun.
It is amazing. And yeah, it is very, those girls have gotten us into some fun spots.
Okay, so Leela, you are just such a beautiful person. And I just was thinking of a few things that I just appreciate about you and just adore you. I love that you have eyes and compassion for all people. And like when you talk about your days in California, just that you have the eyes for people, all kinds of people. And just that means so much. Even since you've been here, you've had a chance through the years to minister to the refugees of Omaha. And you just, the children in your class, the ones that other people say are going to be difficult, are the ones you just see and you bring out. And I think you've done that. I've seen you do that around in our friend group, but it's just such a beautiful part of who you are. You are very bright, and I know, little teacher, but just your degrees and the things you've learned and just your mind is so bright. But I think one of my favorite things about you is that you're witty. And just think of all of the times that you have just brightened my day with just your sense of humor, and you just have the right word to say right at the right time.
No pressure at all for this podcast now.
But it's truly though. I mean, thank you. And I think everybody would agree with that. And I love that you're extremely thoughtful with your words. And so this is exactly what this episode in our conversation is going to be. But I always have just appreciated that you're just so thoughtful and that you don't say words you don't mean. And you have a really good vocabulary. So I always love your description of things. But I also just appreciate that you've really gone through a rough time in the last 3 years with your health and how you have so gracefully trusted God through that and been honest through that. And you have not known a lot of what is ahead of you. And you and Jeff together have just stayed really strong and united. And you have just honored God through it all. And so I'm just so thankful that as we're talking about redemption, and think of how many people, I mean, Leela, you're one just working through health issues and just can feel so hopeless.
Yeah.
And how many people, hopefully, if you're listening and you're struggling, we just need a story of hope and like mm-hmm. how God gets you through it and what he's done. And so I'm just so thankful that you're here and willing to share your story.
Thank you. I almost thought about not coming because I felt like, oh my gosh, after I agreed to do this podcast episode, I started to have second thoughts. I mean, my story is nowhere near as challenging or as difficult as some people. But then if you think about it, there's only one story that really matters. And that's the story of redemption on the cross 2,000 plus years ago, right? So nothing can top the story of what Jesus did for us. And our stories at this point just point towards Jesus. And I really wanted to tell the story of the grace God has lavished on me. I was a mess, but I want to tell you how wonderful God is. So that's why I'm here.
I love it. And really, that's our hope. And the only reason we're doing this is to just make much of him and to point each of us back to him. And especially for you who are just suffering and in a place that you really feel like there's no hope and that your prayers are impossible prayers, would you just like surrender that and just ask God to give you ears to hear that he would tell you something special as Lila shares her story? But Lila, I'm just going to kind of let you start. And would you just give us, you know, kind of start from the beginning and just kind of walk us through your story?
I would be honored. May 29th, 2019 was the day before the last day of school. I was a second grade teacher. We were in the hallway and we were having yearbook signing. It was pandemonium. And my face started going numb and I thought that was weird. And it was kind of buzzing and it kind of turned to my friend Bobby. I'm like, you better keep your eye on me. I don't know what's going on. Later that night, it did end up going to the doctor and they ordered an MRI and it was in a few days' time. And I was super annoyed because I was like, oh my gosh, it's just going to be $1,000 for them to tell me there's nothing wrong with me. And I went and I had the MRI June 5th in the afternoon. And then June 6th that morning, 8 a.m., the phone rang. And it was the doctor. I forgot I had an MRI. I am not kidding. I was literally just going through the motions. I'm a box checker. And that's when the doctor, the general practitioner, told me that I had a brain tumor. And they had scheduled an appointment with a neurologist. And so starts my story. This is the part that made me feel like maybe my story wasn't powerful enough because thankfully, gratefully, we found out that the tumor was benign and we just had to make some decisions. And we decided on radiation. It was the least invasive. At that point, nobody wants to open up someone's head through surgery. It wasn't meant to be. So this type of tumor also responds very well to radiation and only in a very small percentage does it not work. So guess what? I'm in the small percentage where it did not work. So on top of the fact that, you know, and it took time for them to find out that it didn't work, they had to continue doing MRIs because growth can happen through swelling. I don't want to bore you. But over time, they realized, oh, this didn't work. And then to top it all off, it was believed that the radiation caused additional damage. So it's just been a long road of symptoms. We don't know if they're tumor-related, radiation-related, or is it side effects from the medication that I had to take for the symptoms. It was just really hard to know. Things like just constant ringing in my ears, gradual hearing loss, facial paralysis, loss of taste on my left side. Because of that, lots of weight loss. Balance was difficult. lots of nausea, pretty consistent nausea, facial paralysis. Like if I didn't take a particular medicine, my face would seize up and it would scrunch up. I was like the Phantom of the Opera. Mm-hmm. Just on that side. Along with it came anxiety and depression. And so I finally decided to get support through medication for that, which was a really good thing for me at that time. It just helped bring me back to as much balance as possible. But I just kept telling myself, well, this is hard, but it's not cancer. So I didn't feel like I could really give in to the difficulty. I felt like I should just be grateful. I just need to keep going. And so that was about before all was said and done with surgery. So as the tumor began to grow, it started pushing into my brainstem. It wasn't invading the brain, it was pushing on the brainstem. So then it was very difficult to swallow, and I had to be very careful how I ate and chewed so I didn't choke. And just along with all of the other symptoms, it was just finally time where I had to make the decision, and we decided to go forward with open brain surgery. And that took place almost exactly 3 years later. It was March 17th, St. Patrick's Day. Hmm. So lucky. Hmm. There I was. 10 hours of surgery, and just miraculously, I mean, it wasn't an easy road of recovery. It took me a good couple months. 3 weeks after that initial surgery, my eye really started to hurt and felt like glass was in my eye. And then I realized my poor husband like drags me into the doctor, and he's like, I think you have shingles. So then shingles were a setback in my eye, and just like this blistered, swollen mess. And then my mom passed away, and then I got COVID, and it was just like, so yes, the surgery was momentous and miraculous, and it truly, what they had prepared me for, they prepared me for, yes, you may decide to do surgery, but you'll likely, because my facial nerve was so involved in the tumor, you will likely have facial sagging. You will likely need facial reconstruction surgery. And that could take a long time. And that process, you may need to take the next year off of work. I had already taken 3 months off of work for the surgery and the recovery. And just, I don't want to get too deep into the weeds, but there were just so many moving parts to this, mm-hmm. that it was no straight line. It was a very jagged path, but that led, you know, to God throughout. But that was kind of like just in a big, mm-hmm. giant nutshell.
Well, and as you're sharing, I mean, this was not years ago. This was just this past March.
Mm-hmm. This past March.
You were still just right out of healing and losing your mom and COVID. Mm-hmm. And it was like, is that not enough that you had the open brain surgery and have a daughter and want to do life and you can't do all those things, but also the heartache of losing your mom and having shingles? It's like, were you just thinking, really? Like what were you thinking during that?
I knew about my mom. We knew that was pending and eventual. We were so grateful that she got to see my youngest sister married. She got to see me through the surgery. Now by see me through the surgery, she's in California, but she's a nurse. She called constantly while she's dying of lung cancer. She's checking on me lots of concern, but I got to relieve her of the burden of me on top of the burden she was carrying. So I really was just taking it one step at a time. And I'm not going to lie, I wasn't thinking past the next breath. So I didn't think in those terms until preparing for this podcast. I literally didn't think back to A, B, C. Wow, that was a lot. Thank you, God. Because I mean, so really when I was in the thick of it, I didn't see past the thick of it. It was probably, you know, in California, we have so many foggy mornings and they tell you when you drive in fog, don't speed up and don't slow down. You just go at a steady pace. And literally when you're in the fog, just stay steady. And so I think that's what I was doing in the midst of it. And I didn't really realize that it was truly a lot until we got a chance to kind of look back.
Wow. I feel like as you're saying all that, it is, you were in survival mode, you know, like family-wise, your health. I mean, like you're trying to make it, trying to keep everything spinning.
I was, but I didn't do any of that. Truly, so much of it, I didn't even get it until, like, for example, I had two friends on my phone that was a, like a little pill, you know, the picture, and then they were called my cheerleaders. And my husband was a very mean nurse. He would not give me my pain medication until it was exactly the minute of time for it. So I was in so much pain and I would have to wait for 20 minutes. So I would just text Jen and Melissa and say, pray me through the next 20 minutes, please. And they would just be on it. They would send scriptures. They would send funny messages. They were like, you've got this, you've got this. And it's like, I didn't have any of it. It was God that had it. And I truly was a disaster, just waiting for 20 minutes until I could have the next medicine. It's not like people think, like how, like on Instagram, you know, all the pretty little messages and stories and reels of how people are getting, there was like, it was messy. It was messy. And I did nothing to get myself through it.
Well, even when you and I were just talking about your story and thinking if you were going to do this podcast with us, you asked, you know, it's like, I didn't have everything together. And it's like, but Leela, would you just share that? Because that's where we are. And it's like, why do we put that on ourselves? And like you said, he got me through, but it wasn't like I was having a quiet time or in the Bible every day. He just got me through. But I think that's incredibly powerful.
So you think sometimes in the Christian world, and this is my view, this is nobody else, nobody did this, nobody like shipwrecked my faith or anything. But when I look at Christian women sometimes, the shiny pennies, the ones who have the books and the Bible studies. And like, I feel like I used to think I was unworthy of that. But now I just, what I was trying to explain to you is if you're expecting someone to have these like beautiful devotions, and I wrote in my journal and I, no. Couldn't get out of bed most mornings. Right. My husband had to help me out and toss me in the shower and get me my tray of medicine. And, you know, I was on my third nap. It was not pretty, but it was what God had for me. Does that
Yes. I mean,
make
see,
sense?
It does. And I just think the honesty of that, we can miss who God is and allow him to just be who he is in our life because we have this expectation for ourselves. And I just think you being honest with that, knowing how you have seen God, is just super helpful. And it helps us release that it's like, there's no formula. Like, he's not going to heal you because you took an hour every day to be in your Bible. And that probably would have been a helpful thing, but you didn't have it to give. And it's like, he doesn't require that. Mm-hmm. And so I think that can stunt a lot of people that we have to do our part or he's not going to heal us. Or there's some way that there's this way that we have to do this that allows God to redeem. And
Christianity is not us reaching up to God. It's not us doing anything for God. It's how God reached down to us, how God does for us.
Yeah.
It's, I think sometimes, personally, I will speak only for myself. I forget and I do and I do and I think, oh, it has nothing to do with what I do for God. It is what God reaches into my life. I don't reach into God's life.
I just love that, Leila. I mean, when we were talking, that's what I actually, when I drove home, I was just pondering and processing that. So I think that's a big part of your story is just the grace, and it's not performance. It's genuinely that he just cares for you and he's with you and he's sovereign and he's a healer and he can do it any way he wants.
Leila, as you talk about just, you went through a lot, like your body went through a lot and it required a lot of people around you. What was this like for your husband and Sabrina as they walked with you through this?
My husband obviously had to step up in the practical ways. I mean, if he wanted clean underwear, he's going to have to wash the underwear. If he... Sorry, can I say underwear on your podcast?
You definitely can say underwear. We've said diapers, Leila.
So the laundry and Sabrina's lunches and getting her to school and the homework pieces, all of those things that I used to do, like all of those things that are part of your identity, I had to give away my control. I couldn't control it. I couldn't control what the hair would look like going out the door. And I learned so much about who my husband was, you know, as a man, as a father, as a provider. It was really beautiful. Just the self-sacrifice in the day-to-day things, the prayers that he would dedicate to me. I mean, sometimes all throughout the day. Sabrina, she is such a chill girl anyway. She is her father's daughter. Just nothing ruffles her feathers. But after it was all said and done was when she too kind of had to stop and think, wow, we've been through a lot. So as a family, we had to kind of walk through some hard moments together. Like it was a, and I don't want to say post-traumatic stress disorder because that's a real thing for real people, but it really almost felt like, I don't want to call it that, but it almost felt like we didn't have our trauma and our stress until 2.5 months afterwards. That's kind of when we all fell apart in a way.
Well, it's almost realized, like you could exhale and like actually, instead of just deciding the next decision and getting through the next day, it was like you could finally sit and exhale. And it was time for everybody to be able to just start kind of feeling some of the feelings.
And looking back and saying, you know, we went through something that could have been potentially, you know, devastating. Thank you, God. It wasn't so many miracles, but we got to look at life and say, okay, what really matters? And let's kind of restructure our priorities. You know, 12-hour work days for Jeff. Is that something that, you know, we're willing to continue to commit to? You know, I don't know. Like those types of big big questions kind of came to the surface, to just say, now that we've been given this gift, this grace of newfound health, what do we want to do with God's help going forward to kind of make sure that as a family we're healthy and we stay that way? Mm-hmm. And, you know, unless God has more fun for us, mm-hmm. but that's okay.
So as you have this time and you're still probably processing, but it would be so fun for us to hear, what did you learn about God through this 3 years?
Oh my goodness. So this is not going to come as a surprise to you. I am not like a Bible memorizing girl. I would love to be able to do that and hide that in my heart. I don't know a lot of Bible verses by memory, but the very first Bible verse that I ever memorized encapsulates this whole experience, and it's Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. These were words I knew. Like, I memorized those words and I knew them up in my head. But through my illness, these were words that I came to live. And to me, that is one of the most powerful pieces about this. Like, for example, God was so gracious to direct my path by directing me to people I would come to rely on long before I knew I even had a tumor. God was orchestrating the redemption from the very beginning. For example, whether it was friends, through family, my work, Jeff's work, parents in my class, my school district, community members, neighbors, my church family, the surgeons, the nurses, the technicians, that poor girl who had to clean my catheter. I mean, bless her. Oh. The anesthesiologist, the stranger on the other side of the curtain in ICU. Oh my gosh, I was a hot mess coming out of anesthesia, and it was a really long night, a very verbal night. I made Jeff buy her flowers and a smoothie because, please, I don't know who she is, but get her flowers. And he was like, okay, and you should see. I'm like, hey, wait a minute. Those flowers are pretty amazing. But anyway, all of those people that God had put in my path, like the scripture said, who were able to do for me when I couldn't do for myself. I didn't even know what I needed half the time. And then there they were. I'm not kidding. Like, for example, you talked about Sabrina. Christy Quint, Chelsea is Sabrina's very dear friend, and Christy is her mom. She just texted me and said, I'm organizing a taco night. What days can you be at my house? Because she was inviting the moms of they're called the Core Four, these four girls who've been together and friends forever. And we're going to organize Sabrina. We're going to cast a wide net. We're going to plan for a month, and then we can bring it in if we need less time. And I was like, what do you mean? And she's like, Sabrina's going to live with us, and we're going to trade off, and we're going to organize all that so you and Jeff can take care of you. Jeff can be in the ICU with you. Like, I didn't even know I needed that. So I was like, okay, I felt weird. Like, in this, not weird, but I felt bad. Like, I don't ask people to do things because I don't want to put people out. I got there. There were tacos. The woman could rule the world. She had a schedule. She had a plan. Everybody, she took the weeks. The other moms took the weekends. And Sabrina was so excited for me to have open brain surgery because she got to
a month of slumber parties.
It didn't end up being a month, but it was like literally she got to be with Chelsea, and she got to like eat real dinners that were cooked that didn't come out of like Chipotle or like a window with a really happy person. Like it wasn't like a happy meal. So like just the way those moms planned for that, I didn't know. I already told you about my principal, Paige, who like got this on the books. She doesn't mess around. But really, the many doctors and surgeons who handled my case, like I had started the journey at Mayo Clinic, the radiation, but then COVID hit and going back and forth was going to be impossible. And so I decided, you know what, we'll just do it here. I was having so many complications that it was later discovered from the radiation. I mean, no fault of Mayo, just those are the, that's what they tell you going in. This could happen. You know, they were wonderful there. But Dr. Frankel, he was a neurologist who took me on during COVID. He had no room in his schedule. He is like the head of doctors at UNMC. He barely even has a clinic day, I think one day a week. He had no business taking me. He just said, come in. And he helped me figure all of this out. And then the surgeons, Dr. Serdell and Dr. Kazaza, they worked so very hard to preserve my facial nerve. They literally transformed my life by their giftedness, what God gifted them, they gifted to me. It's just this beautiful chain reaction. Well, and I will love them forever. I slobber all over them whenever I see them. They're probably like, oh my gosh, here comes the sappy lady. But go ahead, I cut you off. That's what I do.
I can't help but think I'm studying Esther right now and the providence of God and how there's no mistake. It's not by surprise. He, like what you're saying is he is a provident God that goes before us and he has the sovereignty of knowing everything that's going to happen and who those people are. And he has it all planned. Is that what you're...
I can't tell you. Like, yeah. I don't want to take up too much time, but there are so many people in my life who stepped up, who were like my amazing team, Kayla, Ashley, Kalina, Mary Kate at work, and then my friend Aaron also at work. They had gift baskets. They took donations. I got my last day of work. I got to school and Aaron had organized this big, you know, card in my yard or something. And there's this giant sign across the front of the school that said, we love Mrs. Nix. Mm. And when you go through life not feeling it's weird when you can see it. It's almost embarrassing. Like I was like, oh my gosh, I don't deserve this. But God is like, I am going to lavishly shower you with my grace to prepare you for what's ahead or what you're in the middle of or what you don't even know is happening yet. It was just amazing. I mean, I talked about Jen and Melissa, my friend Tracy. She's another prayer warrior. She would just come to my house and sit there and I would be on the sofa and she would like talk or not talk, or I couldn't really eat very many foods. She would like find, who knew that Greek salad is really good? And like dressing, I'm like, I can taste this. I got a wig because my head was shaved, but for so long, I could barely, all I could do was shower. Like I couldn't do my hair. So it was nice to have a wig. Christy and I went wig shopping. I got there and I went to buy it. And she says, it's been paid for. Deanna and all the girls at work have paid for the wig. And I was like, what?
Okay. So
I don't even,
can you back up before you go a little?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Just to, you just started something. You said when you've grown up feeling like, can you name that? Like what was that? Because when you say you felt so lavishly loved and I feel like that's part of that.
That's probably, I will touch on that. It's probably another podcast. It's, but when you don't feel worthy or you don't understand grace, like I didn't really understand what grace was until I met my husband and just the gift of grace and the kindness and the undeserved, no worries. And like, huh? Like I had lived such a, through no fault of anybody's, but the way I interpreted the world and the way, like, the world was black and white. It was right or wrong. There was no gray area. I started calling it the grace area. You know what I mean? It was just like, it's okay to not be perfect. It's okay to ask for help. It's okay to not know what you're doing. And so I, particularly at my job, when you start into a new job, you don't know. It takes time to dig roots there. I guess I just, without opening up Pandora's box, had never felt really worthy of much in life. And this experience has made me see that I am loved.
But I mean, who would know in the hardest time of just being so broken and to the end of yourself?
But just Jeff's work, I had mentioned, were so beyond generous. Just my family, my in-laws, Dottie and Roger, are huge prayer warriors, but just people lavishing us with just, like, in financial ways. My parents, you know, my parents were going through such a hard time as it was, and just the way my mom reached out, as I had always mentioned, I would just hear Sabrina yell, "Mom, there's more flowers on the porch," because, like, people would want to bring food. I'm like, I can't eat. So it was just, it's just amazing. One thing I will share, the community. I have a yo-yo berry problem, frozen yogurt. And I swear, I think, like, there was a time we went, I don't know how many nights a week. I think they're going to name a flavor after me. Kaylee was this young owner of this store, and she and I got to talk and share. And then when she found out about my brain tumor, I'm sitting at work one day, we're all in class, and I get a call from the office, and there's a delivery for me, and they're going to bring it in. She had dropped off and left a full yogurt bar, frozen yogurt bar, cups and cups and cups of yogurt, toppings galore. And we set up a giant yogurt bar. We learned nothing else that day. We just got, like, so filled with the spirit of froyo. It was amazing. And, like, we got to bond us as a class. It was the best. We had so many leftovers. We got to share. But just my church, like, it's very traditional. There's, like, that book, you know, where you have the directory, and we got cards, just lots of cards in the mail from people I didn't even know. But mostly it was the prayers. The prayers were the most powerful thing.
Leva, tell us a little, just as we're kind of coming to an end, tell us just what, during the process of all of this, did you learn about yourself?
I guess you just have to go back to that, to Proverbs. Again, trust in the Lord with all your heart. These are words I knew, okay? I knew that they spoke to faith in God, but through my illness, I got to live out my faith in a very real way. I was just trying to survive, like I told you. Jeff had to help me out of bed. I wasn't reading my Bible. I wasn't doing devotions. However, as I look back, I can just realize I was living out a simple faith. I talked to God through simple conversations all day. Sometimes it was just breathing his name, just getting through it, not leaning on my own understanding. I didn't even understand anything half the time anyway. So it was like, I just had to lean into the trust and the genuine faith and belief that what God had for me was just what he wanted for me. He allowed me to go through what I went through, even though I didn't understand why. And I guess to really wrap it up in the redemption motif is that God works his redemption through suffering. I am now more outward looking. I'm more empathetic to people. I look for people whose path maybe God is directing in my way, toward me, maybe for a reason. Just the story of redemption is how God makes something good of something bad. And I will end by saying, I want God to use me as a redemption tool in the lives of other people. Open hands, direct my path, Lord, now.
Mm-hmm. That's so good. I think what's, I mean, specifically about the verse you shared even, can you say it again so mm-hmm. I don't butcher it?
Sure.
All your ways.
Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. Mm-hmm.
Yes, mm-hmm. yes. That's it. Like you're acknowledging him in all of the ways, like mm-hmm. in all of the ways that he's guided you through this journey. You are giving the glory back to him, especially as we share this story, you know, mm-hmm. and he has made your path straight here, you know, like straight to that healing, straight to him. And it's just such a...
And my healing truly, I probably should say, has been just miraculous. I feel amazing. Yes, the damaged parts that are done, the no hearing, the taste buds, those things won't be restored, but I don't care. There's so much more restoration beyond the physical that mm-hmm. I can now see and experience and hopefully share with other people.
Yeah. That's so good. He's so good.
He's so good. And he took something that could have just taken your life and it was actually the thing that gave you life.
Right. Even from if I'm going to memorize one verse, that's the one I memorized. Like, and that was how many years ago? It's like funny. It was like, oh my gosh, he knows. Mm. He knows. Hmm. He knows. Even if you don't have, you know, flowers dropping on the porch or whatever, he knows.
I mean, that's it. As we're going through suffering, as we're telling these redemption stories, like we cling to the God who is powerful, mighty to save, who cares for us, who lavishes his love on us because he knows. Leela, thank you so much for sharing your story. This has been such a powerful experience for, I'm sure even you, Lisa, as you were hearing it over again, but we just so appreciate you and appreciate what God's done in your life.
Well, thank you for having me. Thank you for trusting me with your audience and just know that you will be my prayers and so will they.
Well, we love you, Leela. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Wasn't that such a good episode, you guys? Wow. Leela is so wise and the Lord has taught her so much amidst her suffering with that tumor. I keep hanging on to that part where she talked about how her illness reminded her of what a simple faith in Jesus looked like. I think we all go through seasons where that simple faith is really all that we can muster. And I think it's important for Leela and for us to remember that that's enough. Like God is not asking for you to be this all-star all the time, perform like crazy. He just is saying, follow me, simple faith, let's go. Like, just look at me. I feel like that was really powerful for me and I'm gonna hang on to that. We've been loving this series so much. You guys, these episodes are gold, and we want to encourage you to be telling your stories of redemption as well. It's so good for us to get into the practice of rehearsing God's faithfulness with the people around us. Next week, we are hearing from one of my good friends, Maddie, and you're not going to want to miss this episode. I know I say that a bit, but this episode is so good, and I know you mamas are going to really love Maddie's story next week. Guys, if you are loving this podcast and loving these episodes, we would love it if you would leave a review. This just helps other people find us. We're so blessed to be doing this journey with you, and we love your feedback. So thanks, guys, for just tuning in with us today. We hope you have the best week, and we will see you back next week with another episode of the Redemption Series.